Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liam Soff, how is Elizabeth now?
She's great. She's amazing. I've just been at her school sports day this morning and she really is fantastic. She just gets on with it with all the other kids.
Would just remind us, because she's just five, but she has been through a lot in her few short years on this planet.
So 2014, me and Sinead, my wife, and our four kids were living in Qatar in the Middle East. And one morning when Sinead put her down for her nap, she came down the stairs. It was about 30 seconds later that she put her up there and she started to cry. So Sinead went back upstairs and the room was engulfed in fire. Her cot was on fire. Elizabeth was on fire. And Sinead grabbed her up, patted her out, and ran downstairs and grabbed our son William, who was 18 months about, and ran out of the house and saved her.
She was, as you say, on fire. What kind of injuries did she have from that?
Well, they were extensive. You know, I suppose it became apparent over the next few weeks that she was so badly burnt. She had 60% full thickness burns. The only place that wasn't burnt really was her back and where she had her nappy on. And she had a food in her mouth, so her lips weren't burnt, but everywhere else was burnt. She lost one of her ears. She lost all her fingers on one hand, and she's left with like one and a half on the other hand. Very bad scarring everywhere else. She lost like half her nose, all of her hair gone. She was burnt down to her skull and her head. So she was, you know, she was in a bad way for a long time. She was kind of unlikely to survive. But she fought back. We were after 5 days when she couldn't be treated anywhere in the Middle East. She couldn't be treated in Ireland. So we were transferred to the Children's Hospital in Birmingham, which has a children's burns unit and an intensive care unit, and that's where she was treated.
And she was a real little fighter.
Oh, she was. Yeah, they'd take her in for these 9-hour operations. She'd go in every second day. She's in a coma for, you know, 2 months now. 9-hour operations every second day, and they would take skin from her back, which wasn't burnt, graft it onto everywhere else, wait for that to grow back, and then do it again. And she did that for months. And since then, I mean, she's had, you couldn't even count the number of operations, skin grafts, reconstruction, all sorts of things. She was, she had a cardiac arrest in one of her operations, and ended up back in ICU after, you know, CPR and everything. But she fought her way back, and she is a strong, resilient, amazing 5-year-old now.
Amazing. That is an amazing story. What a tough thing to have to go through, but what a tough 5-year-old to be in the place she is now. Liam, tell us about Sinead. Got involved in this group that deal with stories of people who are dealing with disfigurement.
Yeah, so Sinead and I had written this open letter, I suppose, which kind of explained Elizabeth's, how Elizabeth's treated, you know, daily, because she's looked so different from, you know, a normal 5-year-old. So Sinead wrote that and shared it on her Instagram. And the Changing Faces charity, who provide support and awareness for people who have facial disfigurement and scarring, they asked, could they share it, you know, on their social media, which is what they did yesterday, and there's been a huge response to it.
I'm not surprised, because to talk me through the type of scenarios that you've had to deal with in the way people respond to Elizabeth.
Well, I suppose our point was really that it's mostly adults really who we have a problem with, which you might not expect. So, you know, people wanting her removed from the swimming pool when she was there, you know, with other children.
People, adults, just strangers?
Adults, yeah. Yeah, they're all strangers, yeah. You know, going to the staff at the swim pool and asking, can she be removed because she is upsetting their children? You know, people may, somebody made the sense that, you know, at least she wouldn't have to wear a Halloween mask.
Somebody said that to you or Sinead or to Elizabeth?
To Sinead, yeah. To Sinead. While she was with Elizabeth, yeah. And somebody said to their, in a shopping centre, to their maybe 10-year-old child, look at that horrible baby. To their child, to their own child. So, you know, this is why we wrote, you know, the letter, because our children, Elizabeth, everyone else's children, learn their responses from their parents mostly. So we just wanted to, you know, make everyone aware that what the sort of life that Elizabeth has and what she'll have to deal with every day, you know, for the rest of her life. I can't imagine people say, you know, make comments like that about a child. You know, when she gets to teenager, adult, it's, I can't imagine, you know, how people will react to her.
And as you say, children are going to be curious anyway, because that's children, that's a natural thing. But there's no, that just needs to be a simple explanation. I mean, that's how do you respond, or how would you like parents to respond when their child says, what's wrong with that little girl?
Well, I suppose just explain to them. There's nothing wrong with her. She just looks a little bit different, that's all. You know, she's a child, look like any of the other children. You know, children in Elizabeth's class, you know, asked her, you know, oh, what happened? Why did your face look like that? Why, you know, do you not have fingers? And Elizabeth just says, oh, I was burnt in a fire. And that's it. You know, that's almost the end of it, you know, from the child's point of view, that's it. It's been explained to her. And Elizabeth, I don't think, has any problem with that. You know, she doesn't, you know, it doesn't concern her. But when people are kind of staring and, you know, making comments and stuff, or they're, you know, their parents are, you know, trying to move their children away, you know, keep them away from her. And I think we made that point in the letter that, you know, you wouldn't do that to any other child. You know, just if the child wants to play with Elizabeth, then, you know, let them play with her, let them ask her questions or talk to her, get to know her. You know, she's an amazing child and has an amazing personality and is well able to talk to anyone. She's never quiet.
She sounds amazing, I have to say. Is she conscious herself that people are, you know, doing double takes or looking at her differently?
Yeah, I think she's becoming conscious of it now. You know, like she might, even if she's in a play area or something, she might come back and say people are staring at her or something. You know, that sort of thing. So she is becoming aware of it. And, you know, she's only 5, so it's difficult to know how much that affects her, I suppose. And, you know, I'm sure it'll get worse. You know, we've tried to make sure she's out in the community ever since we kind of settled in Birmingham. And we take her to activities. She does lots of things, gymnastics and swimming and everything. And, you know, before she starts school, we brought her to pick up, you know, the other from the school so that she'd be out there and everyone would, you know, see her and she'd become, you know, part of the community, which I think has worked really well and has helped, you know, us and her. But, you know, my concern would be when she, you know, goes into a new environment, when she goes into secondary school or university, or people who haven't been around her, that's when it'll become difficult for her, I think.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, you know, you're obviously so thrilled that you got her back because it was touch and go, as you say. But it must be heartbreaking to have that worry of what she's facing into down the road.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you can look at it in 2 different ways. You can feel unlucky because it happened, or you can feel how she survived. But we choose to feel lucky because she survived.
Absolutely. I'm reading the Instagram post actually that Sinead put up. And again, you say that, why would an adult say at least she won't have to wear a Halloween mask or refuse to service at a supermarket till because she looked scary? Did somebody actually refuse to serve Sinead at a supermarket?
It was difficult because she looked so scary, she said.
What do you, or what would Sinead say to people out there who may meet Elizabeth or may meet another Elizabeth? There are many people who have had issues like that Elizabeth has been through. What do you want to say to them?
I don't know. Well, it's difficult. I think I'd want to say that she just looks a bit different. She's a beautiful, enthusiastic 5-year-old like any other 5-year-old. You know, it's normal to, I suppose, be curious about what happened to her, and it's maybe okay to ask, you know. But she's just, you know, get to know her, treat her like anyone else, and think, you know, consider her feelings. You know, she doesn't want people staring at her or making comments and stuff, you know. And if you can't treat her like any other 5-year-old, then you're the one with the problem, not her.
Is she facing into further surgeries, or is that behind her now, Liam?
Well, no, it'd be, you know, to start with, obviously, life-saving treatment. But she's fully skin grafted, so they don't grow as well as, you know, the rest of the body. So it used to be every kind of 3 months she'd have an operation to release skin grafts that had got tight so she could, you know, have kind of full range of movements. We've had a break now for her to kind of have her first year of school, but they'll start again soon. And she has kind of daily physiotherapy, scar treatment, and she's had a lot of kind of hand reconstructive surgery, and that'll need to continue. New ear in the future, prosthetic ear, and her nose will need some reconstruction as well. But you know, life, for the rest of her life, she'll have, you know, some form of treatment on an ongoing basis.
But as you say, you still regard yourselves as lucky to have her.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. She was very unlikely to survive at the start, and the fact even that she survived is amazing. And that she's turned out to be such an amazing child, resilient, determined. There's no way of helping her with anything. She's really fantastic.
Liam, will you stay with us, please? Because I know there's people coming through that want to talk to you and maybe give you some advice. We're going to take a break just now.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we still have Liam Soff there on the line talking about his daughter, Elizabeth. Tom Hickey, you can relate to what Liam is saying there about Elizabeth.
Yeah, I can, yeah. I was burned when I was 2, so I grew up facially disfigured. And I must say I found it quite difficult when I was younger. And even into my late 20s, I found it difficult. But the thing that, I suppose, got on my wick more than anything was the reaction of adults when they met me. I kind of got used to children over time because I just realised as I grew older that they were just curious and wanted to answer their questions about my face. They were seemed to be happy with that. But,
I was just going to say, Tom, can you just take us back and give us, just very quickly, tell us what happened to you and what injuries you were left with?
Yeah, I was at home and I managed to set myself alight by dropping a lighted paper on myself. So I had a plastic dribbler, and so basically I'm burned from my middle of my chest up, and my face was badly affected as well. So I spent over 2 years in the hospital initially, and I had a lot of operations in the years that followed. Those were the injuries, but fortunately my parents never treated me differently than my brother and sister. So I wasn't even really aware of my face. Strange as it may seem, but I wasn't really aware of it as being that different. until I suppose I was in the latter primary years, primary school years. And once you're aware of it, you're also aware of other people and you become very self-conscious. So it's when you're going out and about, say in the street or meeting groups of people or going to town or whatever, or public places, that's when you're really aware of it.
I was going to say, just how did you deal with it there? Because you heard Liam was saying that Elizabeth seems to be getting on great now. He's worried that as she gets older, she'll become more self-conscious.
Yeah, well, I suppose for me, it was definitely a problem that got bigger as I got older. But I think, to be honest, I think it should be a little easier for people in my situation as they get older, simply because there's more awareness of people who are scarred or who have facial difference of some kind or other. And that's because there are more people who have been burned or somehow scarred who are much more visible. Because when I was growing up, I never knew anyone who was burned. Certainly not on the face. But now I can, I know there are a lot more out there.
But would you say that it has held you back in any way in your life, Tom?
It held me back only to the extent that I found it difficult to relate to girls. I found it difficult to make relationships. That was the big issue for me, really. The rest I came to terms with over time. But it was much more difficult with girls, I think. I know people think it's probably girls are more aware of their looks, but guys are too. They're, and certainly I was fearful of in being in the company of girls, really, because I felt really strongly disadvantaged,
But ultimately, you did meet.
Ultimately, I did meet a woman who looked past my face, and I've been married now for 34 years and I have two kids who are now grown up. And so that was a success there. But I saw Liam's letter and Septon's wife's letter about Elizabeth and yesterday, and it struck me that the real issue is, and I don't understand it really, the thing that grates me is adults, while I'm more used to going out now and having people stare and even say things to me.
And does that still happen, Tom? Do you still have to deal with that?
Yeah. But it's not, I'm happier myself now, so I don't even notice people staring now, My wife might notice it, or my children might notice it, but I guess because I'm not, I'm happier, I guess because I've reached that stage in life where, you have a family, I'm retired now, but, I reached a good stage in life, and when you reach that point, you're not as aware of certain things that were holding you back, like my face. So I'm in a good place, but I know how difficult it can be, especially for children. As I said, I was there, and I know what it was like, and it was very, very difficult. I think the support of family is brilliant. I think the fact that you have people like Katie Piper in England...
Who is, of course, a model who recovered from serious facial injuries as well.
Yeah, and she's highly visible and she leads a very successful life. And she's very good at encouraging other people who have found themselves in the same situation as herself.
And Tom, Liam is still with us... would you have advice for Liam?
Well, I tell you what, Liam, what I would say is that you're great to come out and to talk about the issue of how adults react to your child. And I think that's very important. Family support is very important. I think it's also essential that you tell your daughter how much you love her. And, like, I had that support from my family. It helped a lot, you know. I think it's handy if your daughter maybe meets or gets on to some of the supportive organisations that are there. Like, there's in England, there are Changing Faces, which is a very good organisation.
Yeah, Liam, this is the organisation that Liam has we were talking about earlier. They're already in touch, yeah.
And I think that's very useful because they have so much knowledge now built up that it can actually help a lot of people, you know, especially when they're young. As I said, that's, you know, if you get over the young state, if you get over those years, those early years, those teenage years, etc., you come out of it much stronger, you know?
I was going to say, does it actually make you, you know, the old one is always, if what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but if you have dealt with this, you've dealt with all the health issues that go with what has happened to you, but you also deal with all the social issues that come with it, it must galvanise your character to some degree if you can get through that.
Yeah, I did have some very difficult times I used to cry a lot. I don't mind admitting that, because I thought it was just, you know, I was happy at work, but I mean, I was lucky enough to have a good job, but it was very difficult just to get myself to go out every day, you know, because you just didn't know what you were going to face. And that's the tricky part, you know. But I mean, I suppose every day you do go out is a real success, you know. That's the way I looked at it. If I could get through today, if I could get through the week, if I could get through the month, you know, maybe things would change.
But it must have been life-changing when you met the woman who would become your wife, a woman who, as you say, saw past your face.
Yeah, it was amazing. I don't even describe it. Trish is my wife. She's absolutely fantastic. I think she just gave me the space to believe in myself. She was very supportive. Not just initially. I mean, I would describe myself, I suppose, as a bit damaged at the time, you know. I found it just so difficult, even going out initially with Trish. You could see people staring at us because we were a couple, and, you know, she had to put up with some incidents that happened as we married and faced the world, you know. But I suppose the thing is, I've met a lot of people through another organisation, which is now defunct, called Let's Face It. And once I met people who were also had a facial difference, be they children or adults, whatever, you swap stories, you talk about the good and the bad things that happened, you know. I think it's important to realise that a lot of people with facial difference are now getting on with their lives, no matter what the setbacks are, you know, and quite a number of them do marry, and they do go out and lead very, very good lives. But I think at the time when I was growing up, it was a very different Ireland for a start. It happened to me in 1956. So that's quite a while ago, you know. So things have changed dramatically. I mean, I walk around now, I'm not even aware that I look different, you know. I just don't think about it anymore, not to that extent. Anyway.
Well, that's a fantastic place to get to. Liam, Hopefully Elizabeth will be in that place as well, that she won't have to think about whether she looks any different to her friends or where she is. Did you take some comfort from Tom's story there, Liam?
I do, yeah. I suppose it reinforces what my concern about Elizabeth is that she never gets to the end of it. It's not like she meets all the people and they all see what she looks like and ask the questions and that's it. So every room she walks into for like the rest of her life, she'll have to deal with the same thing over and over again. And that's, you know, what I can't fix that, you know.
Liam, the one thing I could say to you is that, you know, I've travelled all over the world. I've really been to a lot of countries and it's remarkable how few people ever bother to look in my direction. And, like, I've been out in the streets of New York and been in Beijing and all over Europe and everything, and, like, most people just don't give a damn. It's just a few people who just react in a negative fashion. They're the ones who, you know, create the issues. And I suppose...
Yeah, and I suppose that's it. It's a few people, isn't it? It's not everyone.
It is a few people, yeah.
It's a few people, yeah.
Yeah, it's a few people, and to be honest with you, like, it gets fewer as time goes on, and I think there's a much better environment now, you know? I know how early a stage this is for Elizabeth, but really I think people are much better than we give them credit for, but unfortunately one or two negative experiences can set you back a bit, you know?
Well, I think, yeah. Tom, I'll cut in there because we have a caller in who I think reflects much what you're saying there, that they really can't believe, and I'm sure a lot of listeners will be shocked to hear some of those things that were said to Sinead and in the presence of Elizabeth. Nuala.
Hello.
Hi, Nuala.
How are you?
You were shocked by some of what Liam was telling us there.
I could not believe how insensitive some, and as you said, it's a limited few people could be over a child who has basically been burned. And the thought that someone would go, a parent would go and ask for the child to be removed, do they really think they're going to get infected by this child? Is it just offensive because the child has been burned? And all I could think was, well, but for the grace of God, go I. That my child never had that happen to her. And how dare they? And I do not know how Liam can be so self-contained. Because if that happened to me, if it would be my child, I would not be able to control myself. And I would have to say something to any adult who actually passed those sort of comments. And if children are passing those sort of comments, then as far as I'm concerned, that is definitely coming from their parents.
Okay, Nuala, we're going to have to leave that there. Liam, thank you so much for telling us that story and all the best to Elizabeth for her future recovery. We do appreciate that. And thank you, Tom. We'll take a break.